Arriving at the forum, there is a palpable buzz in the air as old friends and young researchers sign in and pour themselves much-needed coffee. Delegates' name tags reveal that we are in the presence of psychologists, yes, but also sociologists, doctors, and even neuroscientists. I found myself a seat, and sipping my coffee, I thought once again of my big questions. Before wisdom can be studied, it has to be defined. So my first task was clear: to get a grip on how researchers define wisdom. So, what actually is wisdom?
One way of defining wisdom is to see it as a psychological strength that emerges relatively late in life, and that involves not only cognition, but affect, intuition, morality, and a bunch of other parts of human psyche. So it's not unidimensional, but multidimensional.
That was Masami Takahashi, professor of psychology at Northeastern Illinois University. Now, this is most definitely not the only definition of wisdom. Different researchers have different working definitions, which can be frustrating. Nonetheless, there are a number of themes that seem to be fairly consistent amongst definitions when characterizing wise behavior. Wise people have a facility for integrating intelligence with emotion, considering a broad range of perspectives, navigating uncertainty, and directing their efforts to the common good. There are, however, a number of fault lines within the field which are less easily reconciled.
There is a fairly solid, robust evidence that if men talk to women, they happen to maybe push down some of the egocentrism that is known to them when they talk to other men.
Meet Igor Grossman, director of the Wisdom and Culture Lab at the University of Waterloo in Canada. A rising star in the field of wisdom research, Grossman challenges the fundamental idea that some of us are just wise and some of us not. When it comes to wise behavior, he claims there is much more at play than simply our personality characteristics. There is also the power of the situation.
Wisdom is not an immutable entity. It's a process. What I mean by immutable entity is that people fall trapped to psychological essentialism. The tendency to reduce complex issues into seemingly clear-cut categories. Yes or no, wise versus not wise. That's certainly true for wisdom. Our lay views about wisdom, if you ask somebody on the street quite often, unless you ask them about specific events, quite often people categorize individuals into wise versus not.
And neglecting the role of the situation, he claims, leads to us missing a key part of the wisdom puzzle.
So this form of essentialism, psychological essentialism, fails to account for the vast power of the situation or various contexts on person's behavior. After all, even the wisest person could sometimes act foolishly, and the foolish person under some circumstances, even though maybe rarely, might act wisely. And so in my work, for instance, I've argued for the critical importance of understanding the situation, situational conditions, promoting and inhibiting wisdom as a way to really start understanding and developing curricula, developing programs. And if we ignore this context, if we ignore the role of the situation, the power of the situation, we make ourselves blind for the super valuable lessons about how wisdom can be enhanced or how to develop it over time.
So Grossman suggests we ignore the context of wise behavior at our peril. Wisdom doesn't happen in a vacuum. And when trying to define wisdom, Takahashi was also keen to point out the importance of the very specific context we call culture. Might different cultures hold different conceptions of wisdom? Whilst Western ideas of wisdom focus on the role of thinking and harnessing intelligence for good ends, is this idea universal?
In the East, we don't really value written forms or even sometimes words, because words are cognitive representation, and that hinders sometimes the true thoughts. So instead of teaching pupils wisdom is, masters say just do it, experience it. So one is more cognition based and one is more action or experience based. So there are pros and cons to that.
I was fast learning that, despite broad agreement on several components, defining wisdom is no simple matter. I'd originally thought of wisdom as a character trait, but instead it seems to be more a product of both personality and the situation. Perhaps when trying to pin down wisdom, the conception of a wise person may be less helpful than the idea of a wise act. And whilst none of us might always be wise, it's encouraging to learn that all of us can be wise from time to time.
Okay, so the head of my program, Dr. Joel, I consider him wise because he comes at situations with multiple perspectives and always takes the time to consider all aspects of a question or all aspects of a situation. He never jumps to conclusions and he takes his time always so he can think things through as much as he thinks is possible. And I respect that because I think that allows you to connect to more people and understand more situations and be more empathetic. Someone I would consider not wise would be, I have a really good friend who makes decisions to sleep on sidewalks and, you know, all the crazy college stuff. And so I don't think that's wise because it's like a level of maturity. I think wisdom comes with maturity because the more immature a person is, I don't think they really can open their mind up to that, I guess.